I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
Hey, how about you let me drive?
Oh, no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I wanna drive.
You drive me crazy.
It's the question that drives us.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
All right, folks, we have just about 10 minutes left in today's trading session. It is time for the Drive to the Close. And we've been bouncing around. Of course, our focus has been really all week long. I feel like for several weeks, it's been about Jackson Hole. And check it out, Paul. We're just coming off our highs of the session. We have seen some buying into the close today.
To me, the big news was in Jackson Hole, Tom Keene had the foresight to pack his trench coat in August.
How does he know that?
I don't know. Was cold and rainy this morning, so he was on top of it.
We heard from Mike McKee. All right, let's get to it, though, with Doug Sciocca. He is Chief Executive Officer and Partner at Kivara Capital Partners. They've got over $1 billion in assets under management. Once again, Doug with us on the phone from Leawood, Kansas. Doug, it is nice to have you here. Hope you are doing well. It's an interesting world that we are in, and we are obsessed with Jay Powell tomorrow. How do you see the market environment and what we might get out of Jay Powell and company that might potentially impact a market trend right now?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Carol and Paul, and I am doing well, and I hope the same for you both. Yeah, we're referring to Jackson Hole around our office as Jackson Holy Cow. I cannot wait for this deal.
Cute.
And I really don't know that we'll learn anything much tomorrow. I mean, the Fed governor media parade has been in full swing for a couple weeks, and I think it would be fun to be Jay for a day, as the message, I think, is going to be pretty predictable, right? All is going to center around their willingness to subordinate, but not alienate, growth and employment for the sake of price stability.
All right, I'm going to go back to an old tried and true, equity strategist, equity analyst question. Valuation, I mean, where are we on valuation here? Because we had that 22, 23% drawdown, as the kids like to say these days, and then we kind of retraced about half of that. We had earnings come through this last quarter. We're pretty decent, a little bit better than expected. So how do you guys look at valuation here in these equity markets?
Yeah, I think it's a great conundrum of sorts, Paul. I mean, whether the move we had off the June lows was purely of a bear market bounce variety or the resumption of a cyclical bull, it seems to us that the beta bounce, right, in that retracement is likely run its course. It's hard to see from a broad market perspective the multiple of the market expanding while the Fed's tightening, which tends to lead itself more toward active management. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the market valuation, particularly S&P, is so heavily influenced by the largest companies.
Right.
The remaining companies in the index actually are reasonably compelling on a forward 12-month projection basis.
Well, that's why it seems like, and I hear from a lot of managers, that it is a stock picker's market, which I know some people don't like that term, but it's saying you can't really buy the market. You really got to go look for some names. And yes, there are some values out there, but you kind of got to do the bottoms up work. Is that kind of how you guys approach it?
Oh, right now, for sure. I mean, when selling is indiscriminate, right? And throughout the first 6 months of the year, it was kind of a harrowing cross asset class correlation.
That's right.
You saw like fantastic broadening of the opportunity set. And when you get that big of a bounce off the lows, that is when you want to throw a very wide beta net. But now you do need to tone in a little bit more. And it's very interesting to us to follow the fund flows, right? All of a sudden, right, more money has come into value than growth investments for the first time since 2019, and it's pretty considerable. So growth, even at a reasonable price, is being left to just kind of flounder while people are piling into sectors like financials and energy and even to a great extent utilities and certainly materials. So the prototypical value sectors have received the lion's share of the money right now, which we think is probably presenting opportunities by the negligence of some of the others.
Hey, it is hard, though, to ignore, Doug, energy, which has just been such a standout performer. We understand the fundamentals why. We understand what's going on. So what is the smart exposure to energy in your view?
Yeah, I think that's challenging. But one of the things that we did a little bit of homework on, and when you look at the operating leverage in a sector like energy, it's significant, right? There's very little capital that's being redeployed. It is completely beholden to the commodity price. But we think whether it's on the integrated side, on the transportation side, you know, there's a lot of talk about the pipelines and midstream and the dividends that they also provide. I mean, I think there are some compelling areas within energy. But the thing you have to keep in mind is there could be a significant snapback in the price if we see any reprieve on the two significant externalities that are confining supply right now, being, you know, the China lock and even more importantly what's happening over in Eastern Europe.
Hey, Doug, you know, about the end of June there, we had double-digit declines in pretty much every fixed income sector, whether it's corporate bonds, even right. treasuries. And, you know, fixed income pros who have done this for decades have said we've never seen that. So when I hear stuff like that, I just kind of run out and buy them hand over fist. what are you guys thinking about fixed income here? I know it's had a little bit of a move higher here since that end of June, but still some big declines that maybe get your attention.
Oh, God, I think you're right, Paul. Think about it. That's the worst start 6 months period to start a year in the history of the bond market going back to 1926. There's never been a period in the other nine comparatively worst performance starts to a year that has not ended 6, 12, and 18 months later with a higher rate of return in just the bond index. So what we're doing with our fixed income portfolios is we're really moving toward more plain vanilla options, because those bonds, like straight up corporate debt, municipal debt, government debt, I mean, shoot, for crying out loud, a one-year T-bill is providing a yield premium to the 10-year treasury. So these are offering comparable yields with less risk than the bond surrogates that had retained a lot of popularity in a low-yield environment.
All right, we're going to leave it on that note. Listen, Doug, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Doug Sciocca, be well, Chief Executive Officer and Partner at Kavar Capital Partners, over $1 billion in assets under management, on the phone from Leawood, Kansas. I love that, Jackson, holy cow.